Well, all right. Well, this is our Communion Sunday. So if you're with us today and you're new, we practice an open communion. I think I'm going to stop saying that. Where'd Jeff go? I was going to look for Jeff. Huh? All right. I was looking for Jeff. I'd look for Josh, but he's not here either, so I'm looking for somebody. Anyway, we practice an open communion, and many of you are going, what does that mean? It means this, is that you are not required to be a member at Authentic Life to participate in our communion service. I was talking to someone this week, and they said, well, there are churches that really require that. I said, there are. There's not as many as there used to be, but there are. But so if you're with us, you know, rest at ease. So it is the Christmas season, amen? Anybody here big movies, Christmas movie watchers? We are well in. I stuck my bride off last week, and we went and saw White Christmas on the big screen. Yeah, that's awesome. So if you're into classics and you get a chance to see those on the big screen, that's a good way to do it. So in the Christmas season, there's a lot of things that say Christmas. We each have kind of differing ideas, whether it's music, movies, or candies, sweets. Are there any sorts of sweets? Now, for me, peppermint bark, that's Christmas. You can't have Christmas without it. So we have a lot of things that help us to celebrate and commemorate the Christmas season, and I thought of a few. During the Christmas season, our Jewish friends celebrate Hanukkah. And the symbol of Hanukkah is the menorah. And so there, I think we're in the fourth or maybe fifth day of Hanukkah. During the holiday season, do you remember when we used to have kids programs? I can remember when I was in elementary school, you did choir programs. I loved Christmas in elementary school and junior high because I went into choir, one, because the guy-to-girl ratio was really in my favor. And two, during the holidays, you got to do the concerts. You'd go to a couple of the banks in town, and you got to miss a lot. And so there used to be a time, there's just not as much as there used to be, but we used to have tons of children's Christmas programs, and they were always just on the verge of train wreck, weren't they? Because kids are going to do what kids are going to do. But we parents, we get all, you know, kind of tight and things. Some churches and some folks celebrate with a Advent candle. And that's a beautiful thing. I've thought about doing that, but I always remember, Miss Sylvia, when we're already here. I got to make a note, you know. We already did that one. And Christmas lights. So how many of you have lights up at your house? Okay. How many of you would have lights up at your house if you didn't have to put them up? Okay. If you had a house. Yeah, it's hard to put lights on your house when you don't have a house. So is there anyone here that would just admit you're a Scrooge and that's just not you? Oh, Ronnie, that's okay. But Christmas light looking, we haven't done that in a while. We need to go do that. Just drive around and look at everyone else's hard work. Amen. And then pictures with Santa. Our Buck family reminded me of this. Now, can I just say this? I mean, it's 75-25% that first picture with Santa is going to go bad. But you know what? You know what? You were traumatized by it, and you're traumatizing your kids by it. And I was there when we traumatized my granddaughter with it. It's a crazy thing. But, you know, you hope to get that really good picture and all those sort of things. But pictures with Santa are a big part of Christmas. Christmas caroling is a big part of Christmas. I really would love to be a part of a caroling troupe where you just kind of walk down the street. That'd be fun. And you could sing and people would give you hot cocoa and stuff. That's good stuff. And then candlelight service is a big part of the Christmas celebration. And you may recognize that picture. That's from year before last, I think. Candlelight service. And then there's one other that some churches will do during the holiday season, and that's the communion service. And that's what today is. Today is our Christmas communion service. And so communion is something that's very unique and personal and intimate, and it has a powerful purpose in the life of a believer. And today our goal is to just kind of think about those things and to be reminded of what communion is. And so communion or sacraments. Now, if you go out and you visit churches during the holiday season, maybe you have family that attend churches and maybe you go somewhere else. Well, if they're doing a communion service, you might hear one of two words, communion or sacraments. And you say, well, aren't they interchangeable? Well, no, they're not really. And I want to give you just a little bit of a lesson on the difference. The word sacrament is typically used by our friends, the Roman Catholics, the Eastern Orthodox, and a few Protestant denominations, and it refers to a rite through which God's grace is conveyed to an individual. Many evangelical churches, of which we would fall in that category, we prefer to use the word ordinance, which can be defined as a God-ordained ceremony. And so the sacrament is often thought of as being a means of God's grace as a worshiper performs a certain religious rite. He or she receives a divine blessing either for salvation or for sanctification. Now, we hold to what's called a symbolic communion. It means simply this, is that on the table before me is bread and juice. There's nothing special about them. There's nothing magical about them. They're not going to do anything supernatural for us. It's a symbol. It's like a wedding band. It's an outward symbol of an inward decision. And so we see two different ideas and practices. An ordinance is usually not considered a conduit of grace, but simply a practiced command to be performed by the Lord. In other words, a sacrament at some level involves a supernatural work of God. An ordinance is simply an act of a man, in obedience to God. So we believe that there's two ordinances of the church, baptism and communion, and they should follow one another, baptism then communion. So here's a question I've been asked, and it's a question you may have been asked, and maybe a question you want to ask. Can a person be saved and go to heaven without ever being baptized or taking communion? Now, if you're in the sacrament side, they would say no. But if you're in the ordinance side, we would say yes. Because our salvation is based on the grace of God and our receiving of that grace by faith in Jesus Christ. It's not what we do or how often we do it and those sort of things. It's by faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone. And so what we believe is this. This is our time to kind of pause and think. This is a physical connection to our spiritual ancestry. Because we know that on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he took the cup and he gave to us communion. That we would do it until he comes. And so what's really neat for me personally about communion is over the years I've had the privilege of serving overseas in different places, and it's always been my custom to take communion with the folks that I've been able to serve with. And so when I come to the communion service, I think not only of the Lord and those things, but I think of all those people. Jeff, you and I, and Morgan, and Melinda, and well, all four of you guys, we've had communion somewhere else. And so I think of those two things. But can you have a relationship with God and be saved with heaven as your home? The answer is yes. But I can say unequivocally, that's not God's will for your life. It is God's will for your life that once you trust in his son Jesus, that you'd be baptized. Unless it's just impossible. And then the communion is our way of reaffirming what we believe, all right? So if you want to read with me today, you can join me in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. We're going to look at verses 23 through 34. This is where we see communion, and we're going to unpack it just a little bit, okay? I think that far too often the communion celebration becomes commonplace. It's just something that we do every few months. Now, depending on what religious background you come from, you might take communion every week. I know our friends at the Church of Christ take it every week, and Episcopalian, what you were saying earlier, take it every week, and there's not a problem with that whatsoever. I grew up in the Methodist church, and we took communion once a month. And here at ALF, we take communion about three times a year. Now, part of the reason we take it so infrequently is the effort to make sure that it doesn't become habit. And we had a great discussion in our Sunday school class that the way that you prevent something from becoming just a routine habit is really more of a matter of a heart than it is how often you do it. It's a matter of intention. And so even on the frequency that we take communion, if we're not careful, we can come in here and it can just be kind of a passe thing that we do. And we really want to not do that. We don't want this to become just another thing. Today we're going to partake in the communion service once again, but before we do, I want to unpack it for us a little bit. Let's read together. 1 Corinthians 11:23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also passed to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" So communion is a time of commemoration. These verses remind us that the Lord's Supper is a time of calling to mind. It's a time of remembrance. And like I said, for me, I think about those that I've shared communion with overseas. I think about communion with other churches and other people. When we gather at the Lord's table for communion, we're not offering a new sacrifice. We are remembering Jesus' once and for all sacrifice. Let's look what the Bible says. Hebrews 10:10 says this, "For God's will for us is to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." Christ's sacrifice for us was sufficient. There's no need for more. He paid the full debt, and so we remember that. It's a time of commemoration. The idea of remembering is more than just recalling an event that took place. It has the idea of stirring up the mind to relive with Jesus as much of his life, death, and resurrection as humanly possible. We don't typically think of Jesus' death and resurrection at Christmas. We think of what? His birth. And that's good, but you don't want to forget one for the other. And so let's look at a few things that we need to take time to remember. One is that he left heaven to be born in a human body. Now, how many of us have spent a day in a non-human body? How many of us would like to spend a day in a non-human body? When you get older and the weather and you get creaky and hurting and all those sort of things, there's days when you wish you could trade your body for a new one, right? One of the things about communion that's vitally important to us is we need to remember that Jesus chose to leave heaven and to be wrapped in humanity. Now think about it. How great a sacrifice is that? Well, it's hard for us even to understand, ladies and gentlemen. When I think about what would we be willing to sacrifice, what would we be willing to give up? Where would you be willing to move to? What if I said, I have a wonderful little hut with a grass roof and dirt floors? You're already starting to think, no. Jesus left heaven to be born a human. The eternal invaded the temporal. Second, he became poor than we might be rich. Jesus left all the riches of heaven and humbled himself. The Bible says he didn't even have a home. Jesus never owned a home. Jesus never owned a car. Jesus never had the iPhone 12. I mean, Jesus had nothing. He left everything to be with us, which meant that he had nothing. He bore our sins on his own body. He took our punishment for our sins. Yesterday, I had the privilege, but the unfortunate cause to be called to the county jail. I serve on the chaplain staff there. And one of the gentlemen in the jail had lost his father. And I had the unfortunate responsibility to inform him. And can we just say this? It's a terrible thing to lose a loved one anytime. It's even more terrible when you're in a circumstance and in a place that you have no control over. And so as I sat there and this young man was brought and I shared with him the news, you can imagine. And as the tears streamed down his face and he's asking, you know, what can I do? How do I get out of here? You know, all these things. And the answer is this. You don't. And as I sat there, I thought to myself, you know, if I could trade with him just for a day where he could be with his family, would I do it? I think I would. I really do. But you see, in our world, either Christ has borne our sins or we bear our sins ourselves. He took our sin upon himself. Fourth, he was willing to take our place on Calvary. He was willing to exchange himself for what we deserve. If I were able to exchange positions with this young man for 24 hours, I would be taking the penalty of what he deserves upon myself and giving to him the freedom that I enjoy. He shed his blood for our redemption. He conquered death for us. Now that's important. We think about death and resurrection during Easter, but we don't often think about it at Christmas. But my friends, if Christ is not born, then he cannot die in our place. And if he did not die in our place, he can't be resurrected. And we can't have a hope of victory over the grave. Communion reminds us that this life, as brief as it is, isn't the end. It's a wonderful thing. That young man yesterday, through his tears, I said, I called him by his name, and I said, was your dad a man of faith? He goes, yeah. I said, well, tell me about it. He says, well, you know, he's saved by grace, and I mean, he was giving me the salvation plan as best he could. And I looked at him, I said, you're absolutely right. I said, do you know what that means? Is that he's not gone. It's not forever. It's just, I'll see you soon. Why? Because we have victory over the grave, because Christ conquered the grave. He ascended back into heaven to serve as our high priest forever. What does that mean? He's there on our behalf. He's constantly aware of and concerned and interactive with who we are and what's going on in our lives. It's a time of contemplation. Not only are we to remember what Jesus has done for humanity, the whole, he's got the whole world in his hands, a great song, right? But we are to contemplate what his sacrifice means to us as an individual. If we're not careful, our faith can become so corporate that we lose the intimacy of our faith. And as I looked at this young man yesterday, I asked him, I said, are you a man of faith? And he goes, yes. And we talked about that faith, and I told him, I said, Josh, I said, God loves you, and Christ died for you. Christ died for the whole world, amen? But Christ died for you. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we can lose that sense of awe. We think about great sacrifice in our world. At Christmas time, you may think about that gift that you know was a great sacrifice someone else to give to you. But we have to remember and be contemplative of what Christ has done for us. 1 Timothy says this, it is a trustworthy statement that deserves full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners among whom I am foremost. It's a time of contemplation, but What does that mean to you? Let me ask you a personal question. Have you been saved? Have you trusted in Christ as your personal Savior? Was there a time and a place where you received His grace for your sinfulness? If there's not been a time and a place, today would be a great day to do that. Mine was on a January morning in 1987 on the front porch of Park Street Baptist Church. I was wrecked and lost on all counts. I didn't go to church that day because I wanted to become a Christian. I went to church that day so my friend would shut up and leave me alone and stop inviting me. But I'm really glad I went. Have you been saved? Does His sacrifice move your heart toward Him? When you think about Christ's sacrifice to you, does it still stir your heart? Do you still, in tearful wonder and knowledge, know, I don't deserve it? If I lived 100 lifetimes, I wouldn't deserve it. And if I lived 100 lifetimes, I could never do enough in proportion to what Christ has done for me. Does it still stir you? Does the fact that He is alive thrill your soul and cause you to bow down in humility and worship? Not only is your heart stirred that He would give His life for you, but the fact that He's alive. It's not a wish. It's not a hope. It's not a theological theory. My friends, Christ is alive. And He is in heaven today, and He's coming soon. He's coming. And you know what? He's one day closer to coming than He was yesterday. It's a time of contemplation. It's a great time to consider your personal walk with the Lord. Is it all that it should be? Remember last week when we rounded out our study of Samson, we entitled it, "We All Fall Down," because the truth is we all fall down. But are we striving for it to be what it should be? Are you living in a manner that pleases Him? Is your heart right with the Lord? It's contemplation. It's also a time of identification. When we take the Lord's Supper, we are publicly identifying ourselves with Jesus Christ. We believe in His death and resurrection was for us. You see, communion is your way of telling everyone else, I believe. I believe that Jesus was born, sinless life, crucifixion, and resurrection. That's what you're saying. Anything else is, A, not biblical, B, not true, and C, can I just be as honest as I know how to be? If that's not true, then why are you bothering? People say, I would become a Christian, but you know, it's just a spiritual crutch. Listen, if you don't believe in the basic tenets of the gospel, then it's just a religious crutch. And that, you don't want that. That's not what God intended. Romans 10:9-11. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It's not what you do, it's what you believe. And it's not just that you believe, but it's in whom that you believe that matters. Sometimes we get so hung up, and Christmas is a real challenge because if we're not careful, we get hung up in the gifts. And gifts are wonderful, right? But it's not the gifts, it's the heart. It's the reason for the season. And it's not what we do for the Lord that's important. That's salvific, I guess, is a better word. I'm getting a little verklempt. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. It's a time of declaration. Celebrating the Lord's Supper, we are declaring His death and resurrection to a new generation of people. Now, there may be some here today that this might be your first time to take communion. This may be your first time in a long time, or you may have kiddos and you're explaining to them. This is our testimony to the next generation. We talked about in Sunday school that growing up, I was in a church that took communion once a month. And unfortunately, I didn't really have an understanding of what communion was, nor did I have a respect for it. I treated it very badly. So I wasn't trained up thoroughly in that. This is a time of education as well as a time of worship. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. What is communion a testimony of? There's only one way, heaven. There's only one way to have peace with God. Now, our world says there's a lot of ways. Oh, it's like going to Dallas. There's several ways to get there. Doesn't matter which way you go because the destination is the same. The communion says that's not true. Because Jesus says, I'm the way. And when we participate in communion, that's our testimony. Jesus is the way. It's a time of expectation. We're also reminded that at this time, it should stir our thoughts concerning the return of Jesus. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. And if that were not so, I would have told you. Because I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I am coming again and I will take you to myself so that where I am, there you shall also be. The coming of Christ. 1 Thessalonians tells us this, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and in the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive. That's me. That's my hope, Ronnie. I want him to toot, and I want to scoot. You heard about the two little boys at their grandma's house? She looks out, and they're out on the front lawn jumping up and down, and she goes, what are they doing? She walks out, and she says, boys, what you doing? They said, rapture practice. We'll be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Can we be comforted by this today? It absolutely can. Let me back up here. It's a little further back. Can I just agree? Can we agree that in days like these, that can bring us hope? To know that Jesus is coming. We are not told, look at that, that's a typo. Should have caught that, Miss Sylvia. We are not told when Christ will return, but we are called to be ready whenever. For this reason, you must be ready as well. For the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not think that he will. Everybody wants to know when he's coming. But the Bible says no man knows. So can I just save you some money? Anybody who tells you they figured it out, they hadn't. A time of expectation. We don't know when he's coming. But what we do know is this. Is we will all see him in our own generation. You say, well, Jimmy, you just said, don't you believe one person who tells you you know when they're coming? Listen, either we're going to see him in the event called the rapture, or we're going to see him in the event called the repose. You see, I'm going to see Jesus in my lifetime. Either coming on the clouds like we sing, or passing through that doorway called death, but either passage, I'm going to see Jesus. And I want to see those that have gone on before me. And my faith of 33 years will be made sight. And friends, that same promise is yours. You will see Jesus in your life. And Jesus calls us to be ready, to have an expectation. Jesus says that we're to take communion in remembrance of him, because one day when we're with him, we won't do this There won't be a need. Why? We won't have to remember because we'll be with. It'll be great. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. This is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. It's a time of self-examination. While all of these others are true, we have to consider today is important, is the final one is very serious. The final one is a warning to us. We are warned against partaking of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. And you should maybe ask yourself, well, what does that mean? Well, first, it's a warning to the lost. If you're here today and you've not trusted Christ as your personal Savior, this isn't for you yet. Because like we said, to take this is a testifying to what we believe. And if you're not there, if you're still exploring, it's fine. But if you've not yet trusted Christ, it's not for you today. It's okay. No judgment. It's a warning to the backslider. That's a good old church word right there, backslider. He will chasten his children when they profess to be right with God, and yet they are harboring sin in their hearts. What does this mean? What this means is, as a believer, if we are willfully, knowingly, and intentionally in a disobedience to the Lord, and we're not willing to repent of that, we need to not take communion until such a time. And you say, well, you know, the Lord says we can't be two things. And if there's willful, intentional, unrepentant sin in your life, just let this off for now until you and the Lord are in perfect communion. Verse 31, but if we are more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not consider such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the Lord, with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when they meet together, it may not result in judgment. So what's interesting is this. In the early church, when they practiced communion, it often took place in conjunction with a meal. And we see that even when Jesus gave it to us. And in the early church, what's being spoken to is this. Is as humans do, they found themselves more about the buffet instead of the belief. It was more about eating than remembering. And so the early church was told, listen, remember, this is something unique. This is something that's spiritual. This is something that is unlike anything else that you do. Keep it that way. And so that's the mindset that we should enter into this time of communion. And so let's just bow our heads and close our eyes, and in a room this size, and I just want you to imagine in your sanctified imagination that you're sitting in this room and it's just you and the Lord. It's just you and the Lord. As you think about all that communion is, the sacrifice to leave heaven to come to earth, the sacrifice of the eternal invading the temporal, the sacrifice of becoming poor that we might become rich, the sacrifice of paying the penalty for someone else's sin, your sin, the responsibility of being honest and respectful. you're here today, or if you're with us by the internet today, and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, my friend, I invite you to do that right now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Yesterday is history and tomorrow's a hope. This is all that we have, my friends. And the Bible says that we will all see Jesus in our own generation. What it doesn't say is when we'll see him. Could it be today? It could be. We don't know. But if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I implore you, come to him. He loves you. He gave his very life for you. And I understand you may be sitting here, or you may be sitting in a living room or in the cab of a truck. And you say, well, I didn't really plan on becoming a Christian today. My friends, today's the day. You say, well, Jimmy, I know less about God and church and Jesus than what I do know. My friend, it's not about how much you know. Don't let that be a deterrent. Well, Jimmy, I don't know what my friends and family would say. Don't let that be a deterrent. Well, Jimmy, I don't know, but about two people up in this room, don't let that be a deterrent. My friend, if you'll just believe in your heart that Jesus is who he says he is, he's done what he says he's done, and you are in need of him. The Bible says that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all means all. That's you, that's me. And the Bible also says that the wages of sin, what we earn through sin, is death. Eternal separation from God. Hell. But the gift of God is eternal life by faith through grace in the completed works of Jesus Christ. We can be forgiven of our sin and we can be recipients of Jesus' righteousness. The greatest gift ever offered to humanity. And it's yours if you'll just receive it. Would you whisper a prayer from your heart to the heart of God? God, I admit that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. God, I believe the very best that I can in your Son, Jesus. And everything that the Bible teaches, he is, has done, and will do. God, today, by faith, I believe on Jesus. And I receive his grace, his mercy, and his forgiveness. Father, help to transform me every day of my life. Help me to know you better and to love you more. My friend, if that's your faith prayer, you are born again. You are starting a new journey that will, if given the opportunity, change everything in your life. For those of us that are believers, I just want to ask us, brothers and sisters, are we right with God? Is there willful, knowing sin that we need to confess? David said, Lord, search my heart, and if there's any unclean thing in me, Father, I pray for myself, my brothers and sisters. Lord, just bring to us, our minds and our hearts, the things that would be unacceptable to you. Lord, that would be unacceptable for us to share in this communion service. Father, bring them to us that we might bring them to you. Lord, and confess our need of you. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Father, we thank you that through humility and repentance, we can be made right in our fellowship with you. Father, we ask that you would do that in our hearts today. Father, we pray for this time of communion. Father, a somber celebration, an event that changes eternity. Father, we know that the birth of Jesus that we celebrate during Christmas is an absolute necessity. But Father, if it weren't for the cross and the empty grave, Jesus would be just another baby and just another manger. But Father, it's the whole story that brings the miraculous to life. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity of reflection and celebration. Father, we ask that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.